friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA as we go to Washington, D.C. We are about to link up with our own Congressman, Joe Crowley. An eighth term representative from the 14th Congressional District of New York, and that includes the huge sections of Queens and the Bronx. Of course, he is a member of the powerful Ways and Means Committee, and he serves as vice chair of the Democratic Caucus in the House of Representatives. In addition to all of that, for those of you who have known the Crowleys for as long as we have, he comes from a very musical family and even has had a go at it himself. Congressman Joe Crowley, you're very welcome.
Thank you, AJ. Always great to be with you.
I think we'd have to start with the passing of Mayor Ed Koch of New York. And perhaps you might share your own thoughts with respect to the mayor.
Well, I'm sure that there'll be a lot of words thrown about to describe the mayor, and maybe more often than not, the term iconic comes to mind. And they may get overused as well. Mayor Koch probably would say that's a little over the top, but I do think in many respects he was the quintessential New Yorker, someone who I think we could all identify a time and a place of a New York that won't be the same with his passing. I think that New York, New York is a big town, and we always think there's not one person that's responsible for New York. I think that's very true. But if there is someone, I think we'll all have a loss for not having Ed Koch around with his wit, his satire. I didn't always agree with him, but I always like to hear his opinion. And we're going to miss that.
Yes. Let me, and again, I know that your family, I think one of the comments we're hearing a lot since his passing, is those who say we do not agree, with everything he said. However, you heard it loudly and clearly, and you never had to guess where he stood.
Right. One of his favorite lines, and I'll paraphrase it, if you agree with me 100% of the time, you need to have your head examined. That was an Ed Koch-ism. He said that all the time. So he didn't expect everyone to agree with him, I don't think.
I think
he did expect, or he wanted, was people to be straight about where they're at. And he didn't tolerate fools, and he called them as he saw them. And that could make people uncomfortable at times. And I think, he was because he wasn't afraid to talk about where he stood, he could also, I think, very credibly talk about the strong relationship, for instance, that he had with Cardinal O'Connor.
Right.
It was genuine. Because you know that if Koch didn't like you, or if he had no time for you, you'd know it. And he was, when it came to that relationship, it was genuine, because if Koch didn't want it to be, he wouldn't have tolerated it. Nor would I say that the Cardinal wouldn't have either. So that was real, and it showed you the depth and the diversity of Ed Koch, and how he could really, dabble in all kinds of scenes.
Yes, I was honored to be the Irish liaison to Mayor Koch at City Hall during his three terms.
Yeah.
And I do remember that he always had a group that were like apostles that were around. And, you had to state your case. Which was the easy part. But once in a while, or more than once in a while, he would gather this group of people who all had official duties within the city, And he would ask, he'd ask them, you know, to ask me questions about Ireland, the Irish American community, you know.
Yeah.
It was quite a challenge,
yeah.
Because he, for instance, there were a couple of instances where, you know, there were subjects that were somewhat uncomfortable, but if Ed Koch thought that I was, he said, "Just tell them what it is."
Mm-hmm.
One of those being, of course, the issue that we had. There were a lot of people who were undocumented. There were a lot of people who didn't have bank accounts, and they would cash their paychecks, say, in a in the local bar or whatever,
right.
And they became huge targets for, you know, for those who'd want to rob them or,
sure,
you know, follow them from the bars and whatever.
Right.
And it was Ed Koch who, in fact, got that word through the police department that they should be watched, that they should be notice taken care of those, because he wanted that stopped. There was no issue whatsoever as to legal status or anything else. So it was he had so many good features, and he you know, he made some blunders along the way with respect to Ireland, and that's when you were.
No doubt. Yeah. I'll say this. He was a practical person, and he was a common sense kind of person.
Yep.
So he tended to simplify things. I think even things that ought not to be simplified. I think he had that example with Northern Ireland on his return and the controversial comments that he made. I think in many respects we all kind of could forgive Ed Koch. You know, I think his heart was always in the right place. I don't think he ever meant to be harmful, although maybe some things he said may have been misinterpreted, or maybe not even misinterpreted. I think he was wrong when he came back and he suggested that the British weren't occupying Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
But for many years he served in Congress. I think he was familiar with the issue. He'd gone over and saw he was doing a fact-finding mission of his own.
Yep.
You know, I do think there's an awful lot about Ed Koch we can all say that we enjoyed, and I like to think well of people in passing.
Absolutely, and finally, you know, he did not have a problem particularly with that issue, and the short version of the issue was he was in Knock in County Mayo with Cardinal O'Connor,
right,
and he was invited to go up to Stormont, and he went up to Stormont, and that's what happens when you leave Knock. And he came out and they said, what were the topics? And he said, well, they just explained to me, like, you know, the troops here in Northern Ireland are a peacekeeping force. You know, talk about imploding. And by the time he got back here and there were so many Irish around saying, oh my God, what are you doing? But he was the one who said, so I screwed up. You know, it wasn't, let me tell you what I meant to say or whatever. It was, I screwed up. So
that was him. That was him.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is a Congressman Joe Crowley. This has been an amazing couple of weeks. This week in particular, with respect to what now appears for the first time as being real, and possibly soon, in terms of immigration reform,
mm-hmm.
And you indeed are a leader and in the fight for a comprehensive immigration reform. And just tell us and separate for us, if you will, what has happened and what now can we expect to as we go forth here?
Well, yes, Adrian, I think that there has been significant movement in terms of formulating overall arching schemes and plans or notions and ideas. And it's taken a bit further step in the Senate, where both Democrats and Republicans, and Chuck Schumer has been from New York, has been leading the charge here as well in terms of working mm-hmm. with John McCain and others to craft a bipartisan bill that can pass with 60 votes in the Senate. In the Senate, you will need 60 votes to pass a measure of this consequence. We know the president has come out with his overarching ideas for immigration reform as well. And I think what's important to note here, that the president, and I believe the Senate bill is reflective of this, is that there'll be no one cutting the line, that we will deal with the issue of the undocumented, but that they will not cut the line, that there'll be some type of penalty, there'll be some, really going through hoops to become a citizen ultimately. What I like about it, about the president's discussion and the Senate bill, is that they both provide a path to citizenship at some point.
Right.
It's going to be a little more difficult going in the House, I think, and I don't hold my breath yet because it's kind of been a very interesting, from a political standpoint, to observe what's happening in the House these days. As you saw what happened during the Sandy debate, nothing is done until it's done. And, I know that this has been a third rail issue. It's been a hot button and politically charged issue for my friends in the Republican caucus, using it against Democrats and even in their own primaries for anyone who would suggest any form of comprehensive immigration reform. I hope, and it's a very strong hope, and I think you're right, we could do this quickly. It could happen faster, sooner than I think we all realize, but I'm not holding my breath. I do think that my Republican friends have gotten a good sense, primarily from the Latino community, which voted for Democrats and the president, with over 70% of their votes going to the president, the route that my Republican colleagues have taken as being perceived as anti-immigrant has not worked for them and will not work for them. Asian Americans voted 80% for the president. Clearly an indication they're not comfortable with where Republicans are on immigration. And so it is my hope that that is a strong enough message that we'll be able to get something bipartisanly done in the House and in the Senate and get it passed into law.
Right. And I'm glad that you did. When I was referring to, and I think when many of us are referring to, some kind of immediacy, definitely this is going to be rough terrain. But it is not it's not going to be shelved as it has been in the past. If mm-hmm. anything, it is somewhat surprising that this is now, the thorniest issue,
mm-hmm.
and yet it is. It's been the first addressed. Many would have said, well, there are a couple of other things, not the least the economy and debt ceiling and all of that, that would be first, so it would be on the back burner again. That appears to be not the case, so it's time to touch wood and keep our fingers crossed and rely on leaders like yourself to explain and to, I don't think this is going to be done from the bully pulpit.
Right. I think a portion of it will. I think the president has laid out, the foundations for what he'd like to see happen. And I agree with him. I think that we do have to address the undocumented. We have to address the security issue and really end illegal immigration as we know it. But also, I believe very strongly, Adrian, that we have to have a more workable legal immigration system. I don't think we're done with attracting the best, the brightest, and the bravest to our shores. We've not fully grown as a country. We have to continue to grow, and we rely upon the best to come from other countries, as we always have. And no finer example than the Irish, and what they've contributed to the states and continue to do and have become more American than Americans. So, I am confident that we will have this will stay on the front burner. I think we can walk and chew gum at the same time. I think we can accomplish this. There's no doubt we have issues in the economy that have to be worked out. And I believe we need to stop creating additional cliffs and start getting the work of the people done and get these issues behind us as well.
Congressman Joe Crowley, there was obviously a lot of adverse reaction and heated response and finger-pointing with respect to the commitment and indeed the monies for victims of Sandy. God knows you would be more than familiar with most of many of the areas, particularly in the New York areas, and what it meant and what it continues to mean to, for instance, Rockaway, the Rockaways, to Breezy Point, to many of the areas,
Long Beach, New Jersey.
New Jersey, Staten Island, all of those areas. In hindsight, would things have been better had not so many other issues come up, like the obviously the need to reform the gun laws, the gun violence that had erupted in the middle of it. If we're looking for something to say primarily, rather than say nobody cared a damn one way or the other, so they let it go 13 weeks, what would
it be? I think there's no question that the Newtown tragedy did take Sandy off the front page for some time. I think the inaction by Congress helped bring it back to the front page. And I thought that was very unfortunate. Adrian, only 10 days after Hurricane Katrina, the U.S. House had appropriated over $60 billion towards the people of Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana. And we spent billions more dollars after that in supplemental bills that came later on.
Yeah.
And that's what was outrageous, I think, to any of us. And I think expressed, most effectively by Peter King, a Republican from Long Island. And Peter got up on the floor and, really more than castigated his own party. And I think Governor Christie, in terms of his response, laid it out. I don't have to say it. They said that it was, politics within the Republican caucus. I don't think that Newtown had as much to do in terms of that as maybe the fiscal cliff. The issues that we were dealing with, very, very difficult issues that made it unpalatable to ask the Republican caucus for $60 billion more for New York and New Jersey. And I think there was a great deal of politics. I'm glad that it's behind us. At least that part has. We did pass it. It did go through. And I think it demonstrates a tremendous insensitivity to the region.
Particularly since New York has always been, the first benefactor in any similar situations.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think there will be some repercussions. I don't think that is just going to go away. I think it will have a great number of political implications. But having said that, I just would like to revisit, if you don't mind, just going back to for immigration reform. I do not think that many should be surprised that if there is a path to citizenship for those who have been here, 11 million plus undocumented from around the world, that if there is a longer path to citizenship, if there are issues like the payment of taxes, whatever that road is, one will have to look at the immediate effects, and that is that, in fact, people will be able to get their working visas. They will be able to go down a road that has immediate benefits.
Benefits, right.
So yeah. Just not...
I do think there has to be some accommodation made so that that people will have that ability to put their lives together as well. And it will take some time, there's no doubt. And there's no panacea here. There's no, you know, magic wand that will come in. It'll take a lot of work. It'll also take the government becoming more efficient, getting rid of the backlog that exists right now for legal immigrants, people who are, you know, and no one has to tell yourself or Anya how difficult this process is and how often fingerprints have been lost and lost again and lost again.
Oh, yeah.
And paperwork that gets misplaced. So this system has to be really gone over with a fine-tooth comb and made more efficient so that people who legitimately want to stay here and build great lives for themselves and for their families and to contribute to our country as full Americans, that opportunity has to be made more streamlined, no doubt.
That will and could never happen without bipartisan support. So whatever we see here, it's not just a question of adding on to a system that is actually broken almost beyond repair. You know, we'd have to start with a clean sheet, and I know that you've been saying that, and your colleagues have been saying that for a long time.
Yep.
And the number of people with legitimate grievances and disappointment who have gone to you, to your office, and indeed to the congressional offices, particularly here on the East Coast, I'm sure that will be very welcome also to set up a new system, provided it doesn't put us, put the whole issue on the back burner again. I think it can be, and we hope that that you and your colleagues will, not compromise or say, well, okay, it's going to take us another year before we set up a new system. I think it can be rejigged and that this system can be cured without getting into further delays.
Well, I do think that there are ways in which we can accommodate that. And at the same time, in the immediate sense, give people peace of mind that we are moving in the right direction, and not only moving in the right direction, but giving them the ability to stay here legally and in the open and not have to continue to live in a subculture or in communities where they're in fear of being detected. They can have legitimate employment as opposed to working off the books, and they can contribute fully in taxes as well.
Absolutely.
There's no question by legalizing or giving a pathway to citizenship we will improve our economy too. This isn't just about security. That's important. It's also about the economy of our country and helping that. And I believe that and it's been proven by study, that by giving this opportunity a pathway towards citizenship and legalization will improve our economy as well.
Absolutely, and it will also address something that is real as well, that there have been, many unethical employers who obviously have been playing the card. We've seen some horrific instances, even within our own community, where, employers are slow to pay undocumented, and in many cases have used it as a weapon to really take advantage of the situation. All of that needs to be sorted out, and and hopefully that will be done sooner rather than later. And if there are, again, if there are issues like back taxes, penalties, whatever it takes, I think we will welcome it. And there is a difference this time versus any other time. I believe that our time has come. And, Joe, we want to, again, thank you and acknowledge your tremendous influence within there. And as vice chair of the Democratic Caucus, your job isn't obviously getting any easier, but that's all right, too.
It's getting more interesting, and to be at the leadership table in the room now is good for New York. I think it's great for the Irish community as well to have someone in there. Once again, it's the first time since Geraldine Ferraro that a New Yorker has served in the House leadership. So I'm excited about the opportunity and relishing every moment of it. So.
And you have a couple of very good colleagues on the Senate side as well.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll be expecting one of the great strengths of the Irish community, we'd be expecting you to do more.
Well, I always will.
I know that. And thank you very much again. And
thank you, Adrian. Great to be on your show again. Thank you.
Thank you, Congressman Joe Crowley. And friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA.